We turn in the Word of God to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, and verse 8 to 11. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8 to 11. Exodus 20 from verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Amen. Thus far we read the Word of God. And our theme this evening is the weekly Sabbath, a command for all. The weekly Sabbath, a command for all. When John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, before he became a Christian, was playing a game called Cat on the Green at Elstow in Bedfordshire, he was smitten in his conscience with a sense of the sinfulness of what he was doing, because it was the Sabbath day. And this was an early awakening in the heart and mind and conscience of John Bunyan to a sense of sin, which ultimately led to his conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many who profess the name of Christ today would regard Bunyan's sense of sin and guilt on account of what he was doing on the Sabbath day as a delusion. They would see no sin in it. Well then, who is right? Was Bunyan misguided? Or was it the Spirit of God convicting him in his conscience of a sin that he was committing before the Almighty? We believe it was the latter. On the question of Sabbath observance, we can consider who, why, how, and when. Who are required to keep the Sabbath, why this is so, and how it is to be kept, and when it is to be kept, including the change of day to the first day of the week in the New Testament. Now, this evening, we can only look at the first two of these, and then, God willing, the other two next time. Who is the Sabbath for? And why is it for them? Firstly, God has an absolute right over what we do with our time. God has an absolute right over what we do with our time. Remember the Sabbath day. The Lord tells us what to do on the 6 days and what to do on the seventh. And if your general approach or attitude is, well, it's my life, I do what I like with it, then this is because you are not a Christian. If you have that disposition, that it's my life, I do what I want, then you're not a Christian. You see, your heart is still at enmity toward God. And you still have those delusions of grandeur that Satan tempted Eve with when he said to her that in the day that she ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ye shall become as gods, independent of God, not needing God. And man in his sin has been under that delusion ever since. A Christian Someone who is born again of the Spirit of God and has been brought to humbly depend upon the Savior, Jesus Christ, to take away his guilt before God. A Christian knows that God does have the right to tell us what to do and when to do it. In the first commandment, God has declared that he alone is to be worshipped. In the second commandment, he has told us how he is to be worshipped, his way. And in the third commandment, he has told us of that reverence that is due to his name, always and especially in his worship. And now he's telling us when particularly we are to worship. But then you say, every day is for God. Every day we're to serve the Lord. In that sense, every day is the Lord's day. It is certainly true that every day is to be used for God's glory. Every day we ought to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. It is true that we are to honor God every day. But it's also irrelevant. Because the God whom we are to honor every day has told us how to honor him 6 days of the week and how to honor him the other day of the week. We are to honor God in doing all our work on the 6 days, and we are to honor God on the Sabbath day by not working but giving the day to his worship, public and private, as well as to works of necessity and mercy. And so it is a spurious piety that avoids the fourth commandment under the good sounding pretext that we are to honor God every day. Of course we are. But we honor God every day in doing what God requires us to do on the 6 days, in the 6 days, and what he requires us to do on the seventh day, in the seventh day. That's how to honor God every day, not by pretending that God has made no distinction between the Sabbath day and the six other 6 days of the week. In fact, the cry that we should serve God every day is actually an attack upon the Sabbath ordinance when it's used as an excuse for avoiding it. Because if we want to honor God every day, then we will be submissive to what God has appointed for different days. And he has appointed one thing for the sixth and another thing for the seventh. If we really want to serve the Lord every day, then we will not deny his right to tell us what to do and when. So do we own his right over us? That's fundamental, isn't it? What is the state of our hearts? Christians have been renewed by the Spirit of God. They've been brought to repent of their proud, sinful desire for independence of God, to depend upon Christ and him crucified for acceptance before God. Their sins are forgiven, and they say in their hearts, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? A Christian wants to know what God requires of him. He's not asserting himself and saying, I'll do what I want. He wants to know what the Lord requires. And he doesn't approach this fourth commandment looking for ways round it, looking for ways to get out of it, looking for nice sounding excuses to avoid its obligation. Secondly, the basis of the Sabbath is in the creation. The basis of the Sabbath is in the creation. Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. back in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2 and verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God made everything in 6 days. Why 6 days? God could have made everything in a moment. Of course he could. Why did he take 6 days? And it says God rested the seventh day. Does God get tired? Of course he doesn't. So why are we told that? That God rested the seventh day. He fainteth not, neither is weary. Why are we told God rested the seventh day? And it wasn't even that he was doing nothing on the seventh day. No, he was still engaged in the work of providence, the upholding of all things by the word of his power, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. That's why in John 5, verse 17, when the Pharisees wrongly accused him of breaking the Sabbath, he says, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. What he was showing there is that the Sabbath was not merely intended for inactivity, for different activity, but for different activity. And the healing of the man that was sick of the palsy, the healing or the healing of the man by the water by him on the Sabbath was one of those activities that was right on the Sabbath day. And the Lord Jesus is saying that the Sabbath is cessation from one kind of activity in order to perform other activities, namely worship and works of mercy and necessity. And he's doing that by referring back to the creation. After the 6 days of creation, his Father and he himself as God the Son were active in preserving that creation. So God was not resting in the sense of doing nothing, but he rested or ceased from the work of creation, which was completed in the 6 days. So why did God do that? Why 6 days work of creation, and then he rested the seventh day? Quite obviously, in order to give a pattern to man. God, in his sovereignty, chose to do it that way. 6 days labor, one day of rest. 6 days creative work, one day no creative work. It was a pattern for man. It was a pattern for man, for all men, everywhere. The Sabbath was established at creation, and therefore it applies to all men in all ages and in all places. It's permanent. The Sabbath was instituted before sin entered the world. Some would have the weekly Sabbath bracketed along with the ceremonial ordinances of worship in the Old Testament. But it cannot be put in with them, for the simple reason that the ceremonial ordinances, the priesthood, the sacrifices, the altar, the incense and so forth, these things were all designed to expose man's sinfulness and his need of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. The ceremonial ordinances of worship done away with by the coming of the Saviour were all designed to show men their sin and their need of the Saviour, and to tell them about that Saviour. The ceremonial ordinances, which were temporary, all presupposed the existence of sin and the need of salvation. But the weekly Sabbath was instituted by God before sin entered the world, so that it is not a type or a picture or a shadow concerning the Savior. It is not an Old Testament ceremony that Christ's coming abrogated or done away with. The Sabbath was instituted at creation and belongs to man as man. The Sabbath existed when there was no sin and no gospel, as far as this world was concerned, though God had always purposed what would come about. The Lord Jesus Christ confirmed the permanence and universal nature of the Sabbath ordinance, the weekly Sabbath, in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not for the Jews merely, not for Israel merely, but for man. It was established at creation before there was any kind of division in the human race. And our Lord Jesus Christ defended his Sabbath practice from the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ never, ever opposed Sabbath observance. He opposed the Pharisees' distortion of the Sabbath. But he never opposed the Old Testament teaching. Rather, he showed that the Pharisees had distorted the Old Testament teaching. So in Mark chapter 2, that we were looking at just now, he defends his practice. He doesn't say, well, the disciples were all right to pluck ears of corn on the Sabbath because the Sabbath no longer applies. He shows that they were right to do it because it was within what was allowable on the Sabbath day. Our Lord Jesus Christ always showed that his Sabbath practice and that which he approved of in his disciples was compatible with Old Testament teaching. He never, never argued that it was right because the Sabbath no longer applied. He always showed that the practice he was defending was defensible in Old Testament teaching. And the Sabbath was kept after Christ's death. We read this morning in Luke 23 and verse 56. Luke 23 verse 56. The women who looked after the body of the Savior, they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. They rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. The Lord Jesus had not taught them to disregard the fourth commandment. And the Sabbath is a blessing. The Sabbath is a blessing. Christ said the Sabbath was made for man. Now that implies universal obligation, man. But it also implies that it's for his good and for his benefit. Christ did not come to deprive us of such a blessing. As the Lord of the Sabbath, he wasn't taking it from us. Is it conceivable that the Son of Man, who came to do men good by his first coming, should say the Sabbath was made for man, that is, for his good, but I'm taking it away from him? The whole idea is nonsense. It is a blessing. You say, yes, but it's a command. Yes, that's why it's a blessing.
It's because of our corruption that we think a command is bad news. If the Sabbath was only good advice, it would be useless. We'd never keep it. We'd never find it convenient to do so. It's a blessing that God tells us to keep the Sabbath. Yes, it's sin if we don't, but it's a blessing to be told. Otherwise, we'd always think we were too busy to keep it. Those who have a heart that loves God, they don't mind being told. They love to be told. They want to know what God commands. In Isaiah 58 and verse 13, Isaiah 58 and verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. If thou call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, a delight. The true Christian must surely look forward to the Sabbath day. It's a delight. Those who love God, they love his day. They love his worship. They love his word. They love his ordinances. They love his people. Do you love the Lord's day and the worship of God and the word of God? I joyed when to the house of God. Go up, they said to him. Is that true of you? Because you see, it says a great deal about your state, about whether you're born again of the Spirit, whether you're really trusting Christ to save you. Those who love the Lord, they love his day. They joy in God. And they say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The stone rejected of the builders is made the headstone of the corner. But then thirdly, the Sabbath is to be remembered every week. The Sabbath is to be remembered every week. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. It's quite clear that the Sabbath is to be remembered every week. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, and so on. It's to be kept every week. There are no exceptions. This is a strange thing among professing Christians, that they think that the fourth commandment can be set aside unlike the others. That when the fourth commandment becomes inconvenient, it can be ignored. But it's part of the ten. In James we're told that transgressing one part means transgressing all. God's moral law, the Ten Commandments, are a whole, they're a unit. but yet professing Christians. Perhaps they endeavor to keep the Sabbath most of the year. But then it comes to booking their holidays. And of course the cheap package holidays, you fly out on the Sabbath. Well, mustn't be legalistic, must we? Well, no, we mustn't. But it's not legalistic to keep the Sabbath every week, is it? Why make exceptions for the fourth commandment? Why make an idol of your holiday that you have to have it, even if it means driving to the airport, even if it means offloading your luggage, even if it means getting the Sabbath-breaking airport staff to load it for you, and the Sabbath-breaking pilot to fly the plane for you, and the Sabbath-breaking air hostess to look after you. How often do you think it's legitimate to steal? How often would you like someone who comes to do work in your house to steal from you? Would once or twice a year be acceptable? How often do you find it acceptable for members of your family to lie to you? How often would you find it acceptable for your marriage partner to commit adultery? If it was only once a year, would that be all right? How much idolatry do you think is an acceptable level? The Sabbath is to be kept every week, without exception. It is to be regarded as constant and as fixed as any of the other commandments. Then fourthly, the whole day is to be kept holy. We shall look, God willing, more fully at what this keeping holy means next time. But it is the whole day. Remember the Sabbath day. In it thou shalt not do any work. You say, I head off on holiday on the Sabbath because you see the traffic's quieter. Well, I hope it is. Why are you making it less so? You say, but it's all right, you see. I get to church. Yes. So you keep 1 hour or so. What about the rest of the day? The whole day is to be kept holy to the Lord. It's not a case of putting in an hour or so at church and then we go home and watch the telly. The whole day is to be kept holy. And this brings us to some very basic questions. Why do we find keeping the Sabbath so hard? When you hear that this is what the Word of God says, we look at more fully at what it means next time, God willing, but the whole day is for public, private worship. Works of necessity, doctors, nurses, fire brigade, works of necessity and mercy, but otherwise the whole day. Why does that seem so impossible? It's because we're sinners. It's not because there's anything in the least bit absurd about what God requires, or the least bit unreasonable. It's because we're sinners. And that's why not one of us has kept one Sabbath all our lives as it ought to be kept. But I must speak a word to those of you who resent the fourth commandment. Those of you, I can't see into your heart, but those of you who in your hearts, you resent this, you see. I don't want to be told this. And so you either ignore the Sabbath or you suffer it. Perhaps in your situation there are certain constraints, or perhaps your conscience still bothers you a bit. And so you can't quite just ignore it, and yet you don't like it. You can't quite treat the Sabbath as the other days because of your background, but you wish you could. The scriptures speak about people like you in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 5, or verse 4. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances of deceit. Or in the book of Malachi, chapter 1 and verse 13, he said also, behold, what a weariness is it. This was the worship of God they were talking about. Behold, what a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And he brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus he brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hands, saith the Lord? Is the Sabbath a weariness to you? So that you either don't even pretend to keep it, or as you keep it, grudgingly. Which is not really keeping it at all, of course. Why would you rather be free of it? Why do you find an hour or so at public worship quite enough, and then you can't wait to get back to the TV or to the football or whatever it is? Or if you don't actually do that, your heart craves for it. You find the Sabbath long. And the reason for that is because your heart is destitute of love to God. That's the reason. It's because you're not a Christian. And so the Sabbath is a weariness. You see, for the Christian, though he falls short in this commandment as in all others, yet his commandments are not grievous. But to you they are. They're an insufferable restriction. That's because you need a new heart. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God and brought to faith in the Savior. And then you'll delight in the law of God after the inward man. And the Sabbath will become a delight. As it is for those whose sins are forgiven through Christ Jesus. You must seek the Lord. You see, your Sabbath breaking and all your other sins will take you to hell. They'll take you to a place where there is no rest, day nor night. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. You see, Sabbath breaking is a sin, as surely as any other. And this sin Suppose you committed none others. It's not true, but suppose it were so. This sin alone would make you liable to the eternal judgment of God. This sin of despising God in your heart to such an extent that one day in seven given to his worship is a matter of bitter resentment to you, an insufferable thing that cannot be endured. Do you not see that the problem is not that God is too strict? It's that we are wicked. That's what's wrong. It's not God that's wrong. It's not God that's got it wrong when he said, remember the Sabbath day. It's us that's wrong. It's the heart that's wrong. We weren't sinful. We wouldn't think it was strict at all. But we chafe at the law of God because the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. The carnal mind is enmity toward God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it. You must see then your guilt, your transgressions of this commandment, and you must seek mercy from the God of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. By the law is the knowledge of sin. This commandment, like all the others, shows us up for what we are. We're sinners. Sinners in the sight of God, justly deserving his condemnation. Far from deserving a place in heaven, we deserve only a place in hell, as real Christians know. Do you now see your sin and your need of the Lord Jesus Christ? You must seek him. You must seek mercy. You must seek forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ kept the law of God. The Lord Jesus Christ never broke the Sabbath day. He perfectly delighted in it, as all the commands of God were his delight. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And the Lord Jesus bore the guilt of sin, even the guilt of transgression of this commandment, in the place of all who trust in him. That's why he died on the cross. He was bearing the righteous judgment of God in the place of guilty men and women. You must seek this Savior. You must seek him and find him. There is forgiveness through Christ and only through Christ. You must turn from your pride and your delusions. You must give up all thought that you can possibly be acceptable before God as you are, or that you can make yourself acceptable to God. You must give up all such arrogant pretensions and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and put your trust in him alone to take away your guilt before the high and holy God of heaven. And if that is true, if that takes place, then you will call the Sabbath a delight.